Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Greetings and welcome to the 5 o'clock hour. Sports Talk, the Tuesday edition. If you want to jump on in and have a say, got about 7 or 8 minutes from now, we'll talk hoops with Oregon basketball coach Kelly Graves. It was a big weekend on court for his team, getting the first sweep of Oregon State of his tenure running the program, and first since 2010. Big stuff for the men as well. After that nail biter, well, I guess you can make your nails brighter, nail biter Thursday against Southern Cal, responded with one of their best top-to-bottom performances in conference this year by just dominating UCLA. The performance of Chris Duarte, we know what he did. He almost pulled a triple-double with steals on Thursday, and truth be told, he had six more on Sunday with six rebounds, 24 points. He is just, what's the best way to describe him? He's a jolt. He's disruptive. He's got an incredible skill set as far as athleticism and quickness, and he's provided a real great dangerous supplement to Player of the Year candidate Peyton Pritchard, who had another good all-around game himself. I mean, I'll tell you what, you look at the stat sheet, and a guy like Duarte, 24 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 6 steals, and 2 blocks. Wow! That's, you know, you're starting to neighborhood a quad there. PP3, Peyton Pritchard, 19 points, 5 rebounds, and a team-high 6 assists. Shakur Justin, very quietly, an impactful game all over the place. 11 points, 5 rebounds. He had 4 steals. By the way, Oregon had 15 steals. Points off turnovers, 34-18. They dominated inside, 42-26. Nice kind of don't forget about me game for Will Richardson with 16 points. And Anthony Mathis hit a couple of threes. I was talking on Twitter Thursday night how after the game, he came off the pine, took a three, missed it. I don't think he took another shot the rest of the night. And that left him at 20% from the floor in Pac-12 play, 6 of 30. But Addison Patterson, I mean, we're really not going to get shirts made to acknowledge that.
Every single time his name is said, I'm like, how did that?
What are we missing?
What's the story? Like, we need to talk to him to figure out what he's been told from his parents as to why they named him. Not that there's anything
sense
wrong with
humor.
His name, but like, it rhymes. Like, you don't have very many names
Addison
that rhyme.
Patterson. And he gets the double T. I was born in Patterson, New Jersey, just one T. And it's just a terrific all around performance. Hell. They hit 11 of 23 from downtown. And, oh, by the way, when they've needed it in some games this year, as erratic as it's been on the whole, The free throw shooting was just would not let UCLA cut into the lead. You had Addison Patterson miss the free throw. You had Chandler Lawson miss two. That's it. Richardson, 5 of 5. Duarte made all four. Pritch made all six, 21 of 24, 87%, man. You shoot 75% or above. That is going to be the difference between being a 3 or a 4 seed and maybe a 1 seed in your conference tournament, which means you get a better seeding in the big dance. And then once you're that far, you start making your free throws. That could be very much the difference of getting run in the first round, second round, or finding yourself smack back in the Sweet 16 in the national championship picture in a season when it really doesn't seem like there is a clear standout for the national title. Although Baylor and Gonzaga and San Diego State, the last remaining unbeaten.
Those are all three teams that with me thinking ahead to how I'm going to fill out my bracket, absolutely no chance I put any of them in the Final Four.
None.
Absolutely.
Not even the Zags.
No. All of those teams, like Baylor's going to find a way to probably not be a one seed, and maybe that'll motivate them. No, I can't trust Baylor to do good things. Can't trust Gonzaga to do good things. San Diego State, really, like, come on. The Aztecs, they're not Kawhi. They don't have him. No. Can't trust them either. It's going to be the weirdest year for brackets because there's going to be so many like random teams, it feels like, that can just like, oh, this is going to be their moment. Well, yeah, that's the fun part. But, you know, I'm thinking also about the grading and the making of the brackets and all that other crazy stuff. And it's a lot. But I don't know enough about college basketball to figure out what's going on. And that's not helping me just being able to pencil in a one seed to the Final Four.
You know, you always the thing with San Diego State is they are really fill in the blank centric. They are a defense minded team under Brian Dutcher. I mean, they allow 57 points a game. That's fourth best in the country. They got Malachi Flynn, and the thing is, they haven't been dancing in a while. They've been a pretty good Mountain West team, but the last time they've made a move was 6 years ago in the Big Dance when they were pretty highly seeded. But for now, let's put that all on the back burner and lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and talk about this Oregon women's basketball team who'll be spending a lot of time away from Eugene the next 4 weeks. Swept the Civil War, tied atop the Pac-12, third in the country. They'll be at Salt Lake City Thursday. On Twitter, follow along. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. Coach, how are things going for you on this Tuesday?
Well, pretty good. We practice here in about 20 minutes. The team's lifting right now. So because of their academic schedule, we've had to change our practice times this quarter. And we go in the evenings, the early evenings. So it's not ideal, but they're student athletes. So they got to get those classes in when they can.
You know, Sunday you had the early start. You were in Corvallis. And, of course, now we know there was obviously a connection not only between Sabrina, your program with Kobe basketball, such an emotional game, and nobody plays with more passion and heart than your team. Coach, how did you, your staff, and all involved address that tragedy in preparing to play a game when you learned what happened so close to tip-off?
Well, we you know, didn't ignore it. We dealt with it head on, and you know, and it was difficult. There's no question about it. You know, our players have a relationship with him and his daughter Gigi, but you know, nobody more so than Sabrina, and she's the one that obviously took it, I think, the hardest, and you know, did not warm up with the team. You know, I knew she was going to play. I mean, that's who she is, and but, yeah, we addressed it during the pregame speech, let our kids cry it out, and But, you know, at the end of the day, we had to go out and play a game, you know, as terrible as that is. And they did great. I mean, I just thought they competed so hard, and especially in that second half, I've never had a team defend like they did. And there's no question they left it all on the court. But it was a tough day all the way around. It was surreal experience, one that nobody will ever, you know, forget. And, you know, it was hard to – it was kind of a bittersweet victory, you know, as much as we wanted to celebrate what was a great win and a sweep of the Civil War. Just couldn't really, you know, find ourselves to celebrate too much.
You know, I actually thought your team was amazing. I was watching on TV, and the Pac-12 announcers were saying it was clear they were distracted. And, of course, you know, you're talking about brokenhearted kids. And you mentioned, and for those who don't know the numbers, I mean, you allowed 20 points in the second half to a great team. So I'd imagine, despite the heartbreak, I mean, you got to take some pride in how those young women handled, let's call it what it is, an unfathomable situation.
Yeah, no question about it. And I've been asked, you know, that question. And, you know, there's no book that you can go to and say, this is how you need to handle this today. You know, it was a first for me, a first for my staff. I got to give a ton of credit to, you know, Lisa Peterson was there with us, and she was able to kind of help in terms of, you know, where, because the cameras were waiting for us upstairs.
Sure.
They were going to, you know, bombard us, and she figured out another way to get up to the court. And so, you know, the state troopers helped, Oregon State helped. You know, my staff was phenomenal. You know, I during my pregame speech, my voice was cracking. You know, Mark Campbell got up and gave an impassioned speech, as he often does. And, you know, it was just, I think, everybody pulling together. And I was especially proud of our team, you know, pulling together for their sister, Sabrina, who really took it hard. So, in all, it was, you know, a true testament to, you know, great character, championship character from the entire program.
You know, time moves on, but it's only been 48 hours. And as I mentioned, these are young kids. I mean, they're teenagers, maybe into their early 20s. How's everybody doing today?
Well, I haven't seen them. I just pulled my head into the locker room, or to the weight room, and it looked like they were working hard. We're going to meet here as a team in about 10 minutes and, you know, just talk about the logistics of our trip. We leave tomorrow for the mountain trip. So, you know, talk about what we want to accomplish today in practice. Kind of go over the last weekend, you know, talk about the basketball part of things, and then obviously address, you know, the Kobe and the Altobelli, among others, situation, and just see if there's any lasting things that we need to cover. You know, I know our school has done a great job of making counselors available, and I know some of our players took advantage of that yesterday. That's still available to them. So, you know, we'll just kind of, I think the best on all this stuff is to talk it through. I think if you ignore it, then you just don't know what's still inside. So I think these kind of things you just deal with head on, and communication is the way you do that.
Talking with Coach Graves, during the broadcast, Beth Mowins, Debbie Antonelli were talking about you changed up the prep a bit for Oregon State. I mean, we know how close they are, but what was the logic to, I guess, spending Saturday night up there as opposed to here in town and bussing up before the game?
Well, we were over. That's what it is. I think as a coach, you find different ways to make something work, and what we had been doing obviously hadn't worked. It probably wasn't because we went up on game day, but I think anytime you try to give your team an edge, and a mental edge, saying, hey, we're going to do it differently this year, I think it will help, and I think it did. I think we were able to relax, you know, get up there. We had a shoot around, you know, the night before, and a light practice in Gill Coliseum. We'd never done that before. We'd always just driven up that day, gotten there an hour and a half, and tried to get as much shooting in as we can. You know, it's every gym is different, unique, and shooters always want to, you know, get as many shots in that gym as possible. So, and then that way we were able to kind of sleep in on Sunday morning, get a good breakfast, and take our time heading over to the gym instead of rush, and we got to drive that hour. So you know, it proved to I think really help us.
You know, after the game, the cameras of the Pac-12 network caught the handshake, or I guess the high five line, and you made a special point to stop and kind of give Michaela Pivek a hug, some extra time. I mean, she got into foul trouble, still managed to play all but 2 minutes and lead the Beavs in scoring and rebounds. Coach, how special is she?
Well, she's a great player, and more importantly, she's a really nice young woman and a great competitor. I try to do that with, you know, the seniors on the other team the last time we play them.
Sure.
You know, that might be the last time. So it wasn't anything special for Michaela necessarily, but she has been, you know, fun to compete against for 4 years. You know, and she's gotten the best of us most of the time, but not the last couple of years, which was, you know, really nice. But, no, I just wanted her to know that I appreciated competing against her, and I always say the same thing. You know, if there's anything you need, you know, feel free to call me. And you know, sometimes they need a reference, or they're applying for a job, or this and that. You know, maybe they want to get into coaching, and you know, and several over the years have taken me up on it. You know, they've called and said, "Hey, coach, you know, can you, you know, help me with this job?" You know, people that didn't even play for me. So, yeah, she's. You know, she's been a real special player for them.
No question about it. I want to get to one Taylor Chavez. On this team, you've got to wait. You know, being an old Knicks fan, they used to say, it's Clyde Frazier's ball. He just lets us play with it. And we know you've got your big three. And we've spoken about Taylor's competitive spirit, her tenacity. But at the other end now, you see how she handles the ball, drives, pass, shoot threes. How you like how she's coming along offensively?
I think she's been key to our success in league. No doubt about it. She plays, like you said, both ends of the floor, really shooting it well. I think she's shooting over 50% from the three in conference games. And she just, you know, competes. You know, she can guard those big kids. There's times when we switch and she's having to guard a post in there, and she fronts them and just plays so physical. And like you said, she's become quite a threat offensively. You know, is stretching the defense and isn't afraid to go by people and create. So, yeah, there's no question. I think her and Jazz Shelley have really given us a lift off that bench. And we're going to need it, especially like on this trip coming up. We can't play Sabrina and Satu 40 minutes like we did on Sunday because, you know, now we're in the mountain air. 3 games in 5 days, and then, you know, I think 5 games in 11 days. So that's going to test our depth, there's no question. So we're going to need her to continue to play like she is.
Yeah, I was talking with Nick, my producer. We were at the game and watching Taylor. I mean, she was giving away 5-6 inches in front of some of those players. I mean,
oh, she battles. When we have her and Mignon out there in the backcourt, I'll tell you, those two are bulldogs. And we've, you know, our defense has really, really improved. It wasn't just one game. It's been this whole season, and in particular the conference season. When we've been able to make stops in crucial times and force turnovers. We're, you know, that's become part of our offense, is our defense.
A couple final thoughts for Coach Graves. You mentioned Jazz Shelley, the true freshman, who's been playing about half the game. She struggled a little bit with her shot, but she's also willing to take shots. And I guess as a coach, you can't say more about a freshman than you've got her in there in some key moments. What does that say about the trust she's already earned from you and your staff?
Well, you just said it. I mean, that's we believe in her and know she can do things to really help us, and you know, she's got the savvy to help us late. You know, we have confidence in her to get the job done, and you nailed it. You know, she took a couple of shots that were big and crucial moments, and you know, she didn't make all of them, but she made one very big three in each game. So it's nice to know that she has the confidence in herself to take that shot in the big moments. So, yeah, I'm really pleased. I thought Holly Winterburn came in and gave us some really good minutes up there in Corvallis as well. So our bench, we were a little depleted. You know, Lydia was unavailable for the most part outside of emergency because she's been sick the whole week, and Lucy's still working on her back, and same with Jaeger. So, you know, we're a little thin there, but they've all made contributions, and that's important. But I thought in this series, Steve, the big three, Satoruki and Sabrina, really came to play and set the tone big time. They all three played well in both games.
No, absolutely. They were a pleasure to watch. Lastly, I mentioned between now and February 28th, you play 7 of 9 on the road, including that little one at Stores for UConn. But so what's the mindset, you, your staff, as your team? Because, you know, now you get ready to be road warriors, and there's, you know, from the league title, conference tournament seeding, and down the road maybe Portland. Man, there's a lot on the line.
There is, and we've just got to compartmentalize, you know, one game at a time. That's what we have to talk to these, you know, those players about. That's what we're going to talk to them about here in a few minutes. It's going to be difficult. We handled both Utah and Colorado pretty handily at home the opening weekend. Well, it's going to be different on the road. They're going to be fired up to play, and there's a tendency of looking ahead, you know, and we can't worry about the UConn game, because in reality, the two conference games, the Colorado and Utah game, they're more important than the Connecticut game, as funny as that sounds, because we want to win a Pac-12 championship. I think we win a Pac-12 championship, we've got a better road to Portland in the regional. And so as nice as it would be to go get a win in Stores, we have to focus on the first two. And before we focus on the second, we got to focus on the first. So right now, we're only talking Utah. But tonight's the first time I've seen the players, seen the team since the bus ride home from Corvallis. So, you know, I've got to kind of take the temperature of the team, see where we're at mentally, physically, you know, because tough games take their toll physically. And so we've got to do all that tonight.
All right, folks, he's Kelly Graves. Kudos on the Civil War sweep and checking that Gill Coliseum victory box. You can follow Coach at GoDucksKG. Coach, always a pleasure. You all travel safe, and we look forward to talking next week.
All right, Steve, thanks.
All right, have a good one. All right, Kelly Graves joining us.
You won't be able to talk to him next week. He'll be playing UConn next week.
That's Tuesday or Monday?
They play Monday.
Oof.
Yeah.
Woof. Woof. Well, talk to him Tuesday after playing UConn. Who, by the way, did y'all happen to notice that UConn played Team USA?
Yes.
And I think it was a different team. Former Husky super duper star Brianna Stewart returned to the court. She had that ruptured Achilles, and they beat the Huskies by 15. I didn't check the box score. I wanted to do a little side by side to see who played, when they played, because, you know, obviously with Bird and Agumake and Taurasi, I mean, the roster just loaded, but you know, as they start to get into the calendar year 2020, you know, Team USA now starting to thinking about the Olympics. Where are the Olympics this year? Tokyo? No, that's the Winter Olympics.
It's not Tokyo, but I believe it is in Japan.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, it is. It is Tokyo. There it goes. I don't know why I got the Summer Olympics confused with the Winter Olympics, which happen next month, right?
What?
Or did they, no?
They
Summer
switched. Olympics.
They switched. Never mind. I forgot about.
You need to take
a
break.
I saw an ad for the Winter Youth Olympics coming up in Lausanne, France. Well, surprisingly, this winter.
No, the Winter Olympics aren't this year either.
No, the Winter Youth Olympics.
Oh,
it's different. Ignore what I said. Summer Olympics in Tokyo 2020. Winter Olympics 2 years from now. Who the hell knows where? All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
asked them if they could do that and told the league and the Clippers, we're not ready to play this game. We're not ready to host what would really be an event of some magnitude so quickly after Kobe's passing. The Clippers acquiesced to this, and the Lakers now will open up. They'll play again on Friday against Portland.
That was Woj talking about the decision to cancel tonight's game between the Lakers and Clippers. You can't play that game tonight. Welcome back, Sports Talk 95.3, The Score. Appreciate getting some time to chat up Coach Graves as his team gets ready to play 7 of their next 9 on the road with everything on the line. Conference championship, going to be a huge non-con on Monday as they go to UConn. Not MeCon, UConn. And what's the deal? That's got to be a big-time ESPN game, right? ESPN.
Tannenism.
I think finally one of the ESPNers I've tracked down, who we might be able to have on the Monday show. That is TBD. 7 o'clock Thursday, Pac-12 Networks. 1 o'clock Saturday, Pac-12 Networks. Last week, talking, get back to the association, I remember talking about the ridiculous segment of the schedules the Blazers were hitting. And just the danger of slip-ups. And, you know, they had one game this weekend, beat a very good Pacer team, and they lit them up, 139 points. And tell you what, if you're a Portland Trailblazer fan, you're going to need to score a lot to win games because this defense has graduated beyond suspect. I mean, they've averaged giving up exactly 125 points a game over their last five. I mean, if it wasn't for Lillard, who's gone plum loco his last three, the franchise record 61 in the Golden State win, 47 losing to Doncic and Dallas, and then 50 on Sunday to beat the Pacers. By the way, that's the first time ever, forever, that a Blazer has gone for 40-plus three straight games. They got, you're coming with me, McCollum, returned from the ankle injury. And they did face a somewhat shorthanded Indiana team. Their 17-point-a-game man, third-leading scorer, Malcolm Brogdon, ended up in concussion protocol after he got whacked in the head last week against Hooked on Phonics. Still hell of a gauntlet coming. Houston tomorrow. They play at the Lakers on Friday. Imagine that scene. Utah Saturday. And in the week, they're at Denver. As they say, 'tis a tough road to hoe. All right. Hey, don't call me that. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in James. James, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, Steve. What's going on?
Not much. What's happening?
Hey, man, I got a question for you, strictly a question. So I've heard a couple people calling in that are referring to Kobe as either a rapist or committed rape. I've heard a couple people, whether they really meant it all the way or not. So my question to you is, what do you think of the multiple women that support this guy now? Because, I mean, you know, you got Sabrina's dad talking about how much he supports Kobe and loves Kobe. Like, if people really viewed in the eyes of the information they've received that the guy is a rapist, would they put their daughters in the hands of this guy and trust him in the way and talk about him in such high revere as they do? Or is it just kind of like a situation where people believe what they want to believe and, you know, the guy's charm and his love for his daughter kind of overwhelms the things that have happened in his past? Or do you think people just view it more as like, we don't really believe it. It's a money grab. I mean, I'm just wondering what you think. Because to me, like, I trust Kelly Graves, and he's put his, you know, girls in the hands of this guy. And for people that call in and refer to him as a rapist or a he committed rape, is that just something you forgive and move on from?
First of all, Kelly Graves isn't putting his team in his hands. They've met him two or three times. There's a big
difference. I know, but he's still, it seems like they're down with, looking at him as a role model, which I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just asking, like, if this is out there and people still question what happened one way or the other, do you want to, like, revere this guy as a role model as far as for, you know, the team that he mentors or doesn't?
Well, the thing is, A, you have to go back to the case in 2003, and he has a taint to who he is and his legacy because of what happened in that hotel room in Vail. There's no doubt about it. It's not just a he said, she said. Because they did not go to trial, because the woman did not want to testify, but if you read the transcripts, and of course nobody but he and she knows exactly what happened, he offered an apology after the settlement was made, after the original settlement, before the, what the hell is it called? Not the public case. You had
civil
the
suit?
Yeah, the civil suit. Thank you very much. Before that.
Yeah, so do some people just, like, view it as, okay, he was guilty, but he paid her off, so...
No, he didn't pay her off. He didn't pay her off in the original trial. That's not why that went away. He lost the civil suit and had to make a payment. So...
Yeah, but he did end up coming out and saying that, I cheated on my wife, but I didn't rape her. We have two different sides of the story. So, is it just okay for some people to just go with that? Because I'm sorry, I'm not putting my hands in the dude of some guy that admitted to raping somebody, whether it's Kobe Bryant or not. So, I mean, he's coaching a youth team. So I'm just wondering, are people just moving past that, or do people just view it as, like, not legitimate information that came from that whole situation?
Well, there was a lot of legitimate information that came from. I think you're asking for a one or the other when it's a lot more complicated than that.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy. Like I said, I've never been a Kobe guy because, A, we know that at best he was a philanderer. B, if you read the transcripts and the allocution and what was admitted to, and Kobe saying that while there was an element of consensual to it, there were also things that happened in that room that she did not consent to. And a lot of people wonder if that had gone to trial, if in fact he would not have been convicted. And then, of course, people are looking at what he's done since. We are an incredibly forgiving society. And his relationship with his daughters, his now relationship with his wife, what he's done for the women's game, his support, his philanthropy, some of the things you've heard that he's done for really sick children in hospitals that he insisted got no PR. A lot of people take a more all-encompassing view of it, but I don't think there's a lot of doubt in anyone's mind beyond what you might call the blind fans that his legacy will always carry the taint of Vail. And, you know, he's not, I guess, I don't know as far as coaching, you know, what his role is. Is it, he's got his daughter there. So, like I said, I don't think it's a matter of, well, do you trust him or don't you? And everybody has one answer. I think you draw your own conclusions. And it's a horrible situation. And like I said, when you read the transcripts of what happened in Vail, your stomach will turn. Make no mistake about that. You're talking, and not that time changes what happens ever, but, you know, you go back 17 years ago, is he a guy who was like, I skated by the skin of my ass from doing jail time and losing everything? And is he one of those guys who decided that from now on, I will be the anti that human being? And obviously, there are those who are willing to look, I don't know if I want to say look the other way or be ill-informed and just say, oh, well, never went to trial, so he's innocent. No, he's not innocent. It never went to trial, and he was found guilty, which is a big difference. All right, we've got time for one more call, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Stephen. Stephen, how's it going?
Good evening, Steve Tannen. I'm glad you had a good operation for your body. And I want to say, who cares about Kobe Bryant, about whatever he did to a woman? America, have love for this nation and stop accusing somebody what they do. Also, go 49ers for this Sunday. America, stop causing threats or accusing somebody who does something stupid or raping somebody. Have love.
Stop accusing. All right, pot him down. He just lost us there. Stop accusing somebody of a crime they may have committed. Sorry, Stephen. I love you, but that makes absolutely no sense. And no, I can't just sit in silence and allow that to be said on my radio show. Who cares about? No. Sorry. No matter who you are, what your circumstances are, how loyal you are to the show, how well-intended you are, you just can't come on this show and say things like that. And sometimes, you know, your silence is could be mistaken as agreement, and I couldn't be farther from agreement from what was just said right there. So, Fiorello, get about it. That's never going to cut it. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to jump on in. Reminder, 95.3 The Score gives you the world's largest indoor garage sale. Remember, you can join KUJZ March 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it takes place once again at the Lane County Fairgrounds. If you need to get your spring cleaning done or just get rid of some stuff, grab your spot now. Booth space starts at $65 for a 10 by 10 spot. Contact the KUJZ front desk to reserve your space now. Admission is just $2. Don't miss the world's largest indoor garage sale, March 28th. It's at the Lane County Fairgrounds, all from KUJZ 95.3, The Score. All right, break time. We'll come back. We'll tweet of the day, yeah. And I just found something kind of fun on Twitter that I want to share. And we'll do that and try to wrap up Sports Talk on a Tuesday on a little more uplifting note. Coming at you next, 95.3 The Score.
Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Oh, good to hear that again. Welcome back to Crunch Time.
Still recovering from yesterday.
Why, they said hi, everybody, and there was no one here, like, literally in the building. No one was here to talk to me yesterday, so it was just me. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Prospered Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. What do we got on Twitter today? The NBA on TNT had a 1 hour, their pregame show that they normally would have done about basketball today, obviously wouldn't have felt right to try and make jokes and do their normal thing. And they had the NBA crew was at the Staples Center with a spotlight on the Lakers logo and talking about Kobe and stories and everything. And they shared a video at NBA on TNT. Of Shaq when he heard about the news, and oh man, he breaks down and he gets emotional, and over 48 hours later, it's still very raw to a lot of people, and hearing these stories is it's still very emotional time. Anyways, moving on, at Oregon Women's Basketball, they tweeted that Sabrina is going to be on the cover of ESPN the magazine.
Whoa.
Or no, sorry, a ESPN cover story. Yeah, that sounds like ESPN the magazine. They posted a little behind-the-scenes video of what was going on for that, so keep an eye out for that hitting a local newsstand near you. A cool little thing for people that, I don't know, maybe you might have seen some of these in England before, but this is from Eric K. at EKCBS. He said it's a Super Bowl first in Miami because they've added the awnings, the overhang, whatever they call it at Hard Rock Stadium now. It creates a lot of really bad shadows on the field. And if there's one thing that the Orange Bowl Stadium or whatever you want to call it, that grass being pristine is like the defining thing about games. Like, I remember watching old Orange Bowls and like the grass looked fake. It was so real and perfect. And a part of the reason things are going to look so good on Sunday is that they've got these grow lights, which is like synthetic sunshine that gets wheeled around from corner of corner to the stadium when the sun isn't shining directly on it, so it's still getting sunlight, which is super cool. And I've seen a lot of these in England, which, you know, as gray and raining as it is there, they still get really green grass, and so that's pretty cool. But our tweet of the day, I ran out of time to with the music and everything, but it's from Jeff Hannaford, at Jeff Hannaford on Twitter. In case anyone has forgotten, Vince Carter has been playing for so long, he once wore tonight's opponent's throwback jersey. When it was just their jersey.
I've read that. That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
He's playing for the Hawks. He's playing against the Raptors, who were having a throwback night, wearing like their original jersey when Vince Carter played there. The dude's been, played in four decades, right? That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it was in the 98 draft.
Just unbelievable that he was able. He's been around so long. He's seeing jerseys that he wore, throwback jerseys. Dude, it's time for you to go. I think this year being your last year might be a good sign of the times. So thanks to at Jeff Hannaford for the refreshing tweet of the day. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all the same information at 953 The Score. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter at Sports Talk 953. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
He was the fifth pick in the 98 draft. And when you go back to a guy's rookie year who's played a long time, what you do is you play that game where you try and connect him to see how far back you can get. So he played with Charles Oakley, who is now 56.
And banned from the Garden.
And Charles Oakley was taken the draft after Jordan. He was taken in the same draft as Ewing. I got to go one more. So on the Chicago team he played on in 85-86, the elder statesman was George the Iceman Gervin, who played in the ABA. Carter's been around so long, the oldest guy he played with his rookie year played with a guy who played in the NBA. That's about as close of 6 degrees of separation of, wow, you are in this game for freaking eternity. So somebody... Kilahare, at Kilahare on Twitter, says, red pill, restart your life at age 6 with all the knowledge you have now. Blue pill will just give you $10 million in cash.
Blue pill.
No way.
Oh, I don't want to have to go to school again. Even if I know the things.
I changed it. I'm like, that's too easy. Give me 5 years. Take me back 5 years, give me $250 and a month.
5 years is also way too easy. You have to go back till you are 6 years old. Do you have a support system put in place? Are you just going to end up in the foster care system? How is this going to work? Are you just going to time travel back to when
you were
6 years old?
I'm not sure, but I know one thing. I'll start buying IBM at 6. Yeah, I guess 5 years ago.
That's cheating. Then everybody's like, oh, yeah, bet the Falcons are going to
But what's your level of cognizance? Because you take six-year-old me, and I could tell you who's going to win pretty much every major horse race, golf major, NBA, NHL, NFL, and MLB championship before the season starts, you're going to win some serious cash. When you load on the Mets in 69, then all of a sudden, remember, you're also going to, first of all, let's go back 2 years and just take our whatever we had and put it into Bitcoin, and we're all billionaires. How's that?
See, again, I think in that case, the going back just a shorter distance is cheating, because then it's just like, oh, that's too easy. If you have to go back until you're six, nobody's going to believe a six-year-old when he's yelling at you, hey, bet on this team because they're going to win. Like, they're just going to be like, oh, haha, very, very cute, very funny, little Stevie. But no, we have to, you know, you have to go outside and play now. You go find some friends.
No, invest in IBM and ADP. I will throw a tantrum.
People would think you were the worst six-year-old ever. Stevie keeps talking about all these things that he says are gonna happen. He won't shut up about it. He keeps saying mortgage the house on blah blah blah. This horse is gonna
win. Orioles are gonna sweep the Dodgers. Take my word for it.
No, but he won't shut up about this stuff. We've got to put him into a pro. You would be seen as a crazy person as a six-year-old. I don't think you would make it to 10.
Until one, well, you know how people operate, though. Then one bet would hit, and they'd be like, so let's get Steve from where we deposited him. We've got the NBA Finals coming up this year, and we need to bet forward pass in the 1967 Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, but you've got to go to school all over again. Like, even if you're winning money as a gambler, they're not going to be like, okay, Stevie, you keep doing what you're doing of not going to school and not getting educated and not doing anything.
I'll be like, I know everything already.
But they're not going to believe you.
I'll convince them.
Yeah, they're just going to think you're a smart-ass six-year-old. You're going to have to go to school again. You're going to have to go to college, take the SATs again. Oh, it's too much. Just give me $10 million.
But also, remember
just
something.
Just give me $10 million.
As a six-year-old, you have access without penalty. I could break in, start stealing stuff, and just like, he's just been a bad boy.
They're not turning you into a superhero at 6 years old. You have to live life as a six-year-old.
I will be going through aunts, uncles, cousins, parents. I will just be grabbing as much cash as I can.
What if it's just selective knowledge? Like, you just know school things, but not necessarily sports things.
No, it says the knowledge you have now.
Oh, yeah.
And with me, that's not school things, that's sport things. You're really going to debate me on that.
That's a very good point. I've pulled myself into a corner.
I got to tell you, I haven't even thought about tomorrow's show. I'm figuring by the time we rally the troops, time to start thinking about the Super Bowl, no? Yeah, all right. Have a good one. Thanks for hanging. Crunch Time, Sports Talk, 95.3, The Score.
He goes!